Welcome back to A World Without with me, Chris.
And me, Jack. This is the podcast where we get into the hypothetical and discuss what we think would happen if something from our everyday lives suddenly stopped existing tomorrow.
Yep, and this episode is going to be the last one of the current series, but we'll be back very soon with some brand new episodes. But today, we're going to be taking a look at what life might be like in a world without fear.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ooh, spooky.
Hey?
Yeah. Fear's spooky.
Or not spooky, because...
Oh, yeah, not anymore.
No fear.
Oh, yeah.
So the opposite of spooky, really.
Oh, phew. Oh, I was getting a bit scared then for a minute, but no, you're right.
Can't be doing that.
Fear has gone. An entire emotion ridden from the world. Is it an emotion, fear? Of course it is.
Yeah, I think it's one of the five... Well, if I get all my information from Pixar films. If you go from Inside Out, it's one of the five emotions.
True, yeah.
There's joy, sadness, disgust, anger, and fear. And apparently that's all we have.
That's all of them, yeah.
Which one of the five do you think you use the most and the least? Out of joy, sadness, disgust, anger, and fear.
I don't use disgust very much, really.
No?
Nah, not at all. In fact, I mean, I have, obviously. I've been disgusting and sinned some disgusting things in my time, but not often. It's, you know, it's a rare occasion. It's a treat, if you will. However, yeah, I would probably the one I use most. I would say joy. What a happy guy I am.
Yeah. I think I would say the same.
Really?
hey, you.
Don't get angry now.
Sadness and anger are a close run thing, but. Because I was going to say fear is my least used.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Brave. Mr. Brave Man, you are.
Yeah. I mean, it always sounds like. Well, okay. Because would you say you have any fears?
I mean, not anything like obvious. Not anything that, like, other. You know, I'm scared of dying. I'm scared of having a. Anvil fall on my head.
But that's not something you go around thinking about on a daily basis. You're not like, well, oh no, walking around the streets looking up at all the windows worried that an anvil's gonna fall on you. So you're not...
I am at the moment. I am now I've said it,
but that's what I mean. You don't actually have a fear of those things, and that's what I, because I would say no, I don't have any fears, but that sounds ridiculous. It sounds like I'm trying to be like really hard, like, I'm scared of nothing. I ain't scared of nothing, mate. But it's not that. It's just I don't feel like I have any like irrational fears like heights or clowns or...
Clowns on stilts.
Yeah, rats or spiders or any of those sort of things, right?
Yeah.
But in the right situation, I'm scared of all of those things. If you hung me off the edge of a skyscraper and told me you're going to drop me, I'm scared of the height. I'm not really scared of spiders, but if you put me in a room with 100 venomous spiders, well, now I'm quite scared of the spider.
100. How many are there? There's 92. Okay, I'm not, fine.
Okay. Ooh, I was almost scared for a second. You were scared me.
I got this.
90s, all right. I got this. But no, yeah, I don't feel like I have any, like, actual fears that arise. All of mine are more existential, like just put me in a social situation. That's quite scary.
Oh, yeah. So people are scary, honestly.
People are scary. Yeah, people are the scariest thing.
They are.
But, like, I think originally this sounds like a good thing, though, right? To get rid of fear.
I would say on the surface, yeah, fear, bad. But is it?
But, yeah, ironically, I actually think the more you think about it, a world without fear is quite scary.
Well, we have to come up with a new word.
Not good.
it's really not good. I guess because fear is just a defense mechanism, right?
Yeah, I think fear's useful in like small doses. Like, fear's good in like survival situations, sure, but it also stops us just doing things that are reckless or stupid, you know?
Yeah, very much. This harks back to A World Without Pain that we did a very, very long time ago.
Yeah.
Pain and fear, both very similar beasts.
Exactly. Like if someone says, jump off this big drop or whatever, or jump off this cliff into the water, right?
Yeah.
The thing that's going to stop you there is probably the fear that you're going to hurt yourself.
Yes.
But, like, if you got rid of that, well, then you'd start just doing... Because you wouldn't care about the implications of a lot of stuff. Because that's basically what fear is. You worried about the outcome of a thing.
Interesting. So I feel like we're just not really forward-thinking anymore. I mean, jumping off and hitting the water really hard is still going to hurt or even, you know, do you some real damage. But you just weren't scared of it.
So that's what I mean. Would you? I can't decide whether you would. Is it only fear that is stopping you? Or is it just like intelligence? Is it just being like, no, that's going to hurt. No, thank you. I don't want to experience that.
I think you would say, if someone said, please jump off of this cliff, I would say, no, I'm okay, thanks. And they'd say, well, you're not scared to, though. And I'd be like, no. And they'd be like, okay, you have to. And then I'm like, okay. Like, it's more of just a...
Yeah.
There's just no fear involved, but I could still be annoyed.
Yeah, you can still not want to do it without it being scared of doing the thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't sometimes want to wash up, but I'm not scared of it.
I mean, I don't know.
Sometimes when the piles get really high, it does get scary. It's like, oh, yeah.
Every time you come down, there's an extra plate.
That could fall over onto me. Yeah. What if it crushes me?
You open the drawers, there's no cutlery left in the drawer anymore. Uh-oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Terrifying.
Can be very scary.
Like, otherwise, I think you just quit your job or whatever. You wouldn't care about the consequences, like quitting your job.
Yeah, because you wouldn't be scared of... That's it. You're just not thinking of the future. Worry, I guess, is a very mild form of fear.
Yeah, basically, that's all anxiety is, isn't it? It's just like, anxiety is our fear just happening in places it shouldn't be happening in.
I think this episode, we should have had the theme tune changed to, like, Bob Marley's No Worries About a Thing, because that's basically what the world is now. Again, it still, in some many senses, sounds lovely, but I do think we're going to be, I don't know, just accidentally getting into trouble.
Yeah. You just won't think of the consequences of anything. And, like, there's just, I think people are going to be reckless. Like, you wouldn't worry about, like, saying something horrible to a person because you wouldn't be worried about their actions. And then they wouldn't be worried about beating you up because they wouldn't worry about going to jail.
Goodness, yeah, that escalated very quickly. But it worked.
Exactly. Things escalate really fast in this world. People just aren't scared of consequences of anything.
Hang on, that's one thing. I'm scared of getting in a fight, like a physical fight.
Yeah.
Not always, though. Not always. I'm not walking down the street going, huh, like that to anybody that walks by.
That's what I mean. It's not a fear. It's just like, oh, yeah, I mean, that wouldn't be a good scenario for me. I'm not going to come out of that well. But it's not a fear, is it?
Yeah. Probably my most... I'm not claustrophobic at all. Well, I guess I am a bit, but I do have a fear of... You hear of these people getting, like, stuck headfirst in, like, a cave crack or something. Like,
yeah.
It's an obviously incredibly, like, ridiculous situation to put yourself in the first place. But that kind of, like, extreme claustrophobia,
yeah,
that scares me. The thought of imminent death. Not necessarily death, even, because... sounds a bit relaxing. You know, once you go, that's it.
Once you go, it's done, it's over. You have to... Yeah, it's the bit before death is bad. Death isn't bad. It's the bit before it. It's knowing you're dying.
Exactly. It's the thought of happening. So if you're ever in a situation like being buried alive or something like that where you know, uh-oh, I'm probably going to die, but I'm not dying now, but I'm going to be, that is what I fear. But again, it's not a daily fear.
Exactly, because that's not like, again, an irrational thing. That's a reasonable place to be scared. Like, I remember when we did go caving in Thailand, they didn't tell us that we were basically going to have to crawl out of the cave.
Oof.
At the end, like really tight. Like, if you're slightly overweight, I don't think you're getting through there. Basically,
am I getting through there?
I think you'd struggle.
Yeah,
it would be touch and go. There could be some points, I reckon. The person I was doing it with was bigger than me, so definitely there was more room than me, but I felt like I was only just about getting through, you know.
Yeah, I visited St. John's Cathedral in London recently and climbed up to the top. And even in some of the little tiny squeezy, they're not even corridors. I don't know what they are, like behind the scenes hidden areas. I don't know, with little stairs and stuff. I was like shoulders to the edge. And, you know, I'm not the tiniest guy, but I'm certainly not the biggest person that I saw trying to go up those stairs.
Yeah.
Even that kind of didn't scare me, but I was...
Put you on edge.
I was beginning. I was thinking about it. I'm nearly at my limit, is what I was thinking.
Yeah.
And nobody told me that either. I think these tourist companies need to get a little bit better about laying out all the facts before people sending people into crawling caves and cathedrals.
But the interesting thing is, though, it was also at the same time very exciting. And that is interesting because they're very close, I think, excitement and fear.
Yeah, yeah. I guess that's where you get extreme sports and roller coasters and things like that.
Yeah. So do we still get excited? Because without fear, is it not kind of the same thing? Like adrenaline and like doing a skydive or roller coaster, they're always sort of tied up in that sort of part fear, part like excitement. And it's like the excitement is the scariness of it.
I think it's like if your body feels like there's a chance you might die or get very hurt, like is that what you get in a roller coaster, right? Your body's like, whoa, what's happening? Even though you know what's happening.
Yeah, it's doing dangerous things in a controlled way.
So then I guess those things, yeah, you wouldn't feel that fear anymore. But I guess you could still be excited about stuff, I guess.
Yeah?
I think so.
Yeah, because you could be like happy excited, which has no fear attached to it.
Yeah.
But I just mean like, we were saying people do a lot more reckless things now. But is it maybe actually the opposite? Because there would be no... Is it the benefit not all come from the fear and the adrenaline
right.
of doing the scary thing? So if you weren't scared, you wouldn't actually enjoy doing it, so no one would do it anymore, even though now it's easier to do because you're not scared. Do you get what I'm saying?
I totally get what you mean. Yeah, all the extreme sports people out there are just like, what's the point?
Yeah, there's nothing to drive them. It's not like exciting anymore.
Why bother?
Although maybe that's not why they're doing it. Maybe they're just doing it for the achievement of being the first person to, you know, quadruple backflip over a thing.
That's true, but if you're just doing non-groundbreaking stuff,
yeah,
things that hundreds of thousands of other people have done, like riding a roller coaster or something, you're certainly not special for going on a roller coaster, then yeah, I mean, what do you get? You just sort of was like, oh, yeah, I mean, I had some dandruff in my hair and I guess that's gone now because of the speed. That was good.
Yeah, because I mean, like, for example, I think the closest I come to like an extreme sport is like, you know, snowboarding or whatever. That definitely a part of the enjoyment of it is like it being on that edge of like slightly dangerous, and like the closer you get to that edge whilst not doing something dangerous, the funner it is. Like going all off piste between all the trees and stuff, you're riding closer to it being dangerous, and so it's more fun.
Yeah.
Would we stop enjoying things like that, or is that a different thing to fear?
I think we might stop enjoying things like that. I think. I'm not sure. I'll have to ask Pixar, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
They didn't have a sixth one there, did they, called excitement?
Well, yeah, because excitement isn't in the list. So basically they're saying that excitement is fear.
Or is it joy and fear had a baby?
It's both of them working together, yeah.
I see a sequel happening.
Yeah, yeah, their baby excitement.
Yeah. So when you were snowboarding and stuff, did you have any near-death experiences?
I wouldn't say like near-death, but definitely like those times where you get a bit like worried because like you get really stuck in deep snow, like, you know, you can get stuck in tree wells or whatever. And I do remember on a really heavy powder day snowboarding by yourself, which I know you shouldn't really do, especially off piste, but yeah, I got like, I just fell into this huge pile of like massive powdery snow.
Yeah.
And just obviously you can't push against anything to get out,
right
so like obviously as you push against it, you're just pushing against snow, so you kind of end up getting further in, and it's really, really tiring. And I was just getting really, really more tired. And you just begin to start worrying, just like, I'm just getting deeper here.
And, oh, no. Yeah, that sounds horrible. There you
and
go.
And I'm running out of energy.
That's making my fear response go. Yeah, that's one of my fears.
Yeah, yeah. But then eventually I was able to get to my snowboard and take them off. Because obviously you're also on a snowboard and you're strapped into your board, which is all being held down by more snow, which is making it even harder to get out. So I managed to strap that off and then sort of wiggle my way out, and then I used my board to get out. But yeah, that was pretty sketchy.
Yeah.
And that was definitely past, oh, this is fun. That was definitely into, this is horrible.
Yeah. Did you feel like exhilarated afterwards, though, having escaped it?
I don't know. Yeah, this guess. Have you ever had like an almost like you've almost crashed your car or something? Like you almost like crash into a post, but you just sort of like last minute.
Swerve. Yeah, a little bit worse. Yeah.
There's like, I don't know. There's more of like a calming, like you sort of, I just think I went the whole rest of the route down just sort of like in a bit of silence. Good thing I got out of
the most dull snowboarder ever. Just okay, we're just going down.
Like when you just drive home in silence after you normally crash. Like you were just singing along before and enjoying it. Now you're just like, okay, now I'm going to actually concentrate.
Both hands on the wheel, 10 and 2. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would say I had a lot more fear when I was a little kid. I was a big baby, a massive wimp.
Oh, you're a big warrior, were you?
Big time. I was very... I don't think I was necessarily scared of the dark, but I had a very vivid imagination, and I still do, I think, but luckily now I imagine fun things instead of...
Well, now when you imagine monsters under your bed, you're just like, I could take them.
Yeah, right, exactly. I'm like, oh, this has got a blue, fluffy head.
Although, actually, you said you were scared of fights, so maybe not. Maybe you should still be scared, though.
Yeah, that's true. I'm not just scared of the criminals out in the alleyways. I'm scared of monsters under my bed fighting them now. They would definitely have take me, I'm sure, if I tried. But no, I was very scared. One of my biggest fears when I was little, lying in bed at night, that's mainly when it always happened, I would be scared that my whole bedroom would suddenly start, like, floating away. Like, I'd get out of bed, walk to the door, open the door up, and my whole bedroom's just, like, up in the air. Like, a hot air balloon has taken my bedroom away or something, and I can see the world down below.
Up must have been terrifying for you to watch. Was up not all of your worst fears come...
Yeah, I guess it is basically... This was way before the film Up came out. Hang on, I think I've had my ideas stolen.
Oh.
Someone took my fear and turned it into a really good film.
Yeah, so you had nothing to worry about, though. It was quite a fun adventure, actually. You should have been okay with it.
That's true. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, what were you worried was going to happen? You're going to float away and never see your family again?
Just float up into space or something. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know why I had that fear.
So you were too young to understand that doesn't happen, right?
Well, I very much knew it was could be impossible, but it just was this like little niggling fear in the back of my brain of like, oh, but what if it has happened? And I'd have to like check, kind of.
You would actually get up and check?
I had at times. I think I was probably about maybe 6 years old at this point.
Okay, that's fine. I thought you were maybe a bit older than this.
No. Yeah, I was 19. Yeah, no, I think I checked once or twice, but it was always fine, just so you know, just to wrap that story up.
But that's kind of backwards, because I feel like they say a lot of people get more anxious as they get older. Like, kids are fearless, aren't they? And then, like, as you get older, you sort of like learn that things have consequences and you get a bit more anxious and fearful as you get older. But you kind of done the opposite way around, haven't you?
I guess, yeah. I mean, I don't know. You think of little kids being scared, kind of, and adults aren't as scared of little kids' problems.
I guess so, yeah. But they also say that, like, kids are fearless, though, don't they? So, yeah, that is kind of... They're both.
They don't know anything, these people.
What are people talking about?
Did you have any massive fears growing up?
You know what? Every time I used to go upstairs, I used to run upstairs, I had like a recurring dream that someone was always chasing me up the stairs.
Oh.
And that was like a nightmare that I really didn't like. You know, like when you can't run fast enough, you're like sort of tripping over yourself and then someone's like snapping at my heels.
Yeah.
And so I always found that I used to run upstairs a lot. And I realised I still kind of do, not because I think someone's chasing me anymore, but just sort of now right. Out of habit, I do always kind of run upstairs a bit.
So hang on, you're just like, you know, walk along, run, stairs, run, walk along.
Run is maybe exaggerated, but I'm sort of like taking them like, two stairs at a time, or like going with a bit more of like pace up them.
Right, brisk.
Yeah, I'm quite brisk up them, you know?
Yeah. This is very interesting. If there are any therapists or whatever out there listening, I'm sure they've learned a lot about the two of us from these different fears.
Yeah.
We're laying it all out on the table here.
Well, then that's an interesting thing. Yeah, I think like fear is a good way to get into someone's psychology. And now without that, everyone would be a mystery to people. You wouldn't know their deepest, darkest fears anymore.
No, that's true. Yeah. Would therapy like that even work?
Yeah, I don't know. Although, there is an upside to it. I was thinking we could potentially...
Don't say up.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Bad topic to bring up. I said it again. No.
Oh, no, okay.
But what I was going to say is maybe we become a bit more confident. Because, you know, a lot of insecurities come from fear, right?
Yeah.
Like fear of failure or fear that people won't like us or something like that. And so I think we could become a lot more confident, but then also... With confidence comes arrogance, doesn't there? So it's kind of, again, yeah. A bit of a flip side.
Always a flip side. I'd say kind of that you just made me think of it. One other fear I do have still is kind of stage fright now, as an adult still. I had it as a kid too, but still got it as an adult.
How do I not know this about you? I really would... That really surprises me.
I mean, you know, stage fright, that makes it sound like I just walk into an empty theatre and poop myself or something. No, it's like the public speaking element of it. Yeah, just... Yeah, I would say fear. It's more than a worry. It's definitely a fear if I get put in that situation.
That's so surprising. It's just because you make videos to quite a large audience and you even like live stream, which is I know there's a layer of separation there, but it's interesting that completely separates it enough for you to not have that fear of being live in front of thousands of people. Or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I think... I haven't had it tested in a long time. Like back at school, you'd have to go and read in front of the whole class, or occasionally there'd be like an assembly or something like that, or even like a school play that you'd be in or whatever. So it was tested a lot more back then. But
yeah,
nowadays, I haven't really been tested for a long time. So maybe if I'm forced to do it, I might be a bit scared leading up to it, but maybe I'll be okay. Maybe I'll realise that it's not a fear anymore.
Yeah, maybe you should try it. When you're next in a public place...
I'm just going to yell, everyone!
Or just next time you're at a restaurant, just do the whole, you know, tap your glass and just stand up and do a speech.
Yeah, okay, I will. I will.
Okay, please record it.
So you mentioned it a minute ago, but the difference between rational versus irrational fears. For anyone that doesn't know the difference, it's like the difference between seeing a venomous, really dangerous snake. That's very rational. That could hurt you, kill you, whatever. Versus irrational, which is, I don't know, what's an irrational fear?
Balloons or something.
Yeah. What's a balloon gonna do?
Yeah.
Pop?
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah, it might pop, actually.
Hmm.
What if it does?
That's exactly my point. Like, what are you scared of?
Yeah, I mean, latex allergy.
Okay, sure.
Pretty rational, I guess, actually.
That is someone who has a rational balloon fear. People are just like, oh no, they make me, you know, that's irrational.
Yeah.
I don't know.
How about if you're too scared to look at a picture of a venomous snake? Is that irrational?
Yes. Yeah.
Because it's not even in the room. Picture can't do nothing.
People are just like, you can't mention the word without them. That's like to the point of a rational level of fear, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So kind of interesting. So yeah, I mean, everyone should have rational fears.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, they're useful for survival. We need them. If you weren't scared, you'd walk up to a grizzly bear like, hello! Like, it'd be a stupid thing to do. Like, fear is important to not die.
So it's bad that we've lost the rational, but it's good that we've lost the irrational.
Yes. And I think, on balance, it might be worse, though, because the irrationals are annoying, whereas the rationals are keeping us alive.
Yeah.
I was even thinking everyone would become really bad parents, because I think so much of being a parent is basically worrying about your child getting hurt or like choking or like not just not eating well enough to being healthy. It's basically worrying about them constantly. It's basically what drives parents to being good parents.
Yeah.
I think. And without that, I think you just let them do whatever they want. Wouldn't be worried about anything.
Yeah, so some of us might not have made it this far,
yeah.
Basically.
I think very few of us would have.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, who knows?
So it might be more apocalyptic than we think. Just letting kids just do whatever they want, just fall out of windows and stuff.
So for some reason, when you describe it, it sounds hilarious, but...
I mean, it wouldn't be, but it does sound quite funny.
Of course not. In real life, no. But Jack, I just want you to just read me a load of different things happening to children. You put a little comedic note on it, a little twist.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
I don't think that was my intention. Basically, you're saying you can't take me seriously.
Pretty much, yeah. I think that's what it comes down to. The word irrational, not many times you get a word that has an ear at the beginning, meaning opposite.
Oh, yeah.
You got your dis, your un, your in, your im, your ear, and your ill. But yeah, like disrational.
Ill?
Irrational, unrational. That sounds fine.
Hold on. Give me an example of ill.
Illegal.
Oh, yeah, good one. I would say I can't think of another one other than illegal and irrational.
Irregular?
Yeah, so that's another one for RR. Give me another IL.
Elliptical. No.
Illegitimate.
Illegitimate, there you go.
Okay.
They happen.
Yeah, they happen. Did you research this prior? Because I wouldn't have been able to think of that many uns.
I just was thinking, the word irrational's weird, isn't it? Why has it got an ear at the beginning? And yeah, I just did a little Google.
Okay. So is it the least common one?
I mean, I didn't research it well.
Oh, sorry, my mistake. I should have assumed.
A surface level of basic Googling is pretty much all
you
I
looked
get.
At the first result on Google and then wrote that down, as we always do.
Copy-paste it, slap it down on the thing. We're good. Yeah. You know the old phrase, FOMO, fear of missing out? That's sort of happening nowadays, isn't it? That's quite a...
Yeah.
Feels quite new, but I think it's been since like the early 2000s. It's been around for a good 20-odd years.
You mean the phrase or the concept? Because I think the concept's been around for probably all of human existence.
Yeah, before that, people weren't worried at all. No, yeah, no, the phrase, the FOMO, the kind of cool slang for it.
Yeah, I imagine it's probably been around a while.
Do you ever get FOMO?
Yeah, occasionally. I don't think I'm particularly bad with it, no.
Is it really... fear, or is it more WOMO?
Worry of missing out. I think it's more SOMO. It's sadness of missing out.
Sadness of missing out,
like,
yeah.
Like, I'm not scared. I'm not sitting there like, oh no, I'm missing out. I'm more like, oh no, I'm missing out.
Why did you turn to Penelope Pitstop from Wacky Razors or whatever?
She's notoriously scared of it.
Saying that, though, there is apparently JOMO, which is the joy of missing out. But how can you get... if you've missed out, it already implies...
Nah, I was just going to say, I think I get JOMO more than FOMO.
Yeah?
Yeah, like... the amount of times you were meant to go to someone, you made the decision, you're just like, oh, I'm not going to go. And then you look at it and you go, yeah, I'm really glad I didn't go to that. That's the joy of missing out. You're like, yes.
It's a hindsight thing. Okay.
Yeah, it's just like, oh, I made the right decision not to go. Thank God. That looks like it'd have been terrible.
You're not just ringing someone up and going like, hey, John, can you want to go cinema tomorrow night? And then hanging up and then being like, gonna skip out on that and feel great.
Like, no, yeah. I don't think there's an intention to it. I just think there is, for me, I sometimes like... get satisfaction from the fact I didn't do the thing, as opposed to, like, I also get FOMO, which, you know, sadness that you did miss the thing. But yeah, sometimes there's someone invite you to something and you're like, oh, I can't be bothered with that. And then you look at it and you're like, yeah.
Is this why you cancelled on me last Wednesday?
No, that was a FOMO. That was like, oh no, I'm going to have to cancel. Anyway, and moving on.
There's also a FOBO as well, which is the fear of a better option.
Oh.
Or like choice paralysis, you know?
Yeah, I was going to say, that's a much better word for it. No one's using FOBO, are they?
Oh, I've got FOBO.
Yeah, because I think that's rife, especially on like, you know, Netflix and things like that. Like finding something to watch is the ultimate choice paralysis, I think.
Well, Netflix have actually fixed that problem lately.
Yeah?
Yeah, they just got absolute crap shows now, so I don't want to watch any of them.
Burn Netflix.
Ooh, gotcha. Yeah,
roasted. But like, I just think no, because now there's 1,000 different streaming services, and now you've got to decide which streaming service I'm gonna do, and then what I'm gonna watch.
Yeah, god, Phobotastic.
That's the new slang they're all using. Phobotastic.
That would be quite a good name for a streaming service, wouldn't it? Phobo. Come and watch it on Phobo.
For a fear of a better option.
Yeah.
It's just all like worse options to shows. You know, like the American Inbetweeners on there, like just a bad version of something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And there's just like bad remakes of things. Like, there's like the Gus Van Sant Psycho where he just shot for shot remade it. There's only the worst versions of stuff on there.
That sounds fantastic. That sounds like a great night in.
Yeah. And it's only 99p a month. You get to watch all the bad versions of stuff, but you get that fear of a better option.
Yet again, we have invented... the next thing, like the next best thing in the world. I'm very excited. Jack, next Wednesday, me and you, we'll watch some FOBO.
Yeah, how do we patent FOBO as a name? Can someone who knows about business let us know?
I'm going from FOBO to phobia. That's close. They nearly spelled the same, sort of.
Yeah, nailed that.
Except completely different, but yeah.
That was slick.
Thank you. I practiced in the mirror. I'm scared of public speaking, all right, Jack? I need to pair these things.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Phobias, what do you feel about phobias?
In what sense?
Just general thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, they're unfortunate, I guess, for people to have.
You feel sorry for people that have them? You have none, because you're Mr. Brave.
Yeah, like, I wouldn't say I have anything to a level of phobia. Like I say, I don't particularly like social interaction, but I'm not like, it's not crippling to the point where I won't social interaction. It's like, oh God, you know, just rolling my eyes. Or like, yeah, in the right situations, don't want to be doing certain things. But yeah, never to the point of phobia, I wouldn't say. No. You?
No, I have none either. I don't think I'm close. Does a phobia have to be medically diagnosed? Or can anyone just go around being like, yeah, I got a phobia?
I think probably, yeah, because I don't know if it actually has any like medical benefit to know that someone has a phobia of these things. I mean, maybe if it was really crippling. But yeah, I imagine it's a bit like anything. You know, like people always just like, oh, I've got ADHD. But it's like, have you? Or you've just watched a couple of TikToks. And
right.
This is what people with ADHD do. Not like, yeah, that's me.
Yeah. I guess because it becomes a thing more of just being medically diagnosed to just guessing you've got it or something, yeah. Right? Self-diagnosis or whatever.
But I think with phobias, there's no real like need to be medically diagnosed as a thing because there's no like, I don't know, maybe there are. There are things you can take to stop you from having phobias. Like just a chill pill, literally.
Chill pill. Take a chill pill, yeah.
Just some Valium. Just give some Valium. They'll chill out.
Yeah. Didn't they used to prescribe back in like the Victorian ages a female sex toy to the ladies for hysteria or something?
Yeah, was it hysteria or mania?
What is hysteria? I don't even really know.
Is it just being hysteria? Is it just crying, laughing, screaming in...
Right.
I actually don't know.
Did the dildos work?
You're kind of telling me about this story, so I don't know.
Yeah. All right. To Google it is.
To Google it is. I mean, I'm sure it didn't harm him. I'm sure it didn't make things worse. Let's be honest.
Just a bunch of women going to the doctors pretending to have hysteria just because cheaper than Ann Summers.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Doctors just handed them out.
Yeah. See, that was like people who want to get like green card, like weed prescription, just pretended they got glaucoma or whatever.
Yeah.
It's exactly the same thing. It's just like, oh, no, I'm so hysterical. Please. What can I ever do about it? What is still the up-to-date treatment for phobias, though? Like, because in my head, it's still like hypnosis, but I don't think hypnosis has any like roots in actual medicine, does it?
Yeah, I'm not sure either. I'm very intrigued by hypnosis. I believe it's both real and not real at the same time. It's very, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. I don't even know whether like, what's the general consensus? Like, is it just generally considered that, yeah, it's all just nonsense?
I think it must be an alternative therapy, like in alternative medicines and stuff, that kind of realm, right? Because I don't think you get a prescription.
Yeah, I don't think a doctor's ever saying, yeah, go have some hypnosis to get rid of this phobia. But what is the... Is it just therapy?
I think exposure therapy, right? I think I've heard of being right, quite good for phobias. If you've got a fear of spiders, have a spider. If you've got a fear of heights, have a height. Basically, just pull yourself together. Come on.
Yeah.
Just do it. Have it. Do it for a bit. You'll feel fine. It's not the nicest news you've ever had from a doctor.
But I think it's about incremental stuff, isn't it? Like maybe like if it's spiders, get a little plush of a spider and just have it with you at all times. Maybe desensitize you to the idea of spiders are cute, aren't they?
That's actually a good idea.
Maybe watch some documentaries about spiders and they'd be like, oh, look, they're all gross. And then maybe over time, you're like, oh, actually, they're quite cute.
Then go to a zoo.
And then look at some in person.
Yeah, behind glass.
And then handle maybe some really tiny ones and then work your way up. Because once you're at that point, if you can handle a spider and be like completely fine with it, I don't think you need to bother going. Because how often are you coming across actual spiders you need to worry about?
Well, this is the thing. Like, yeah, I'm not scared of spiders. I'm scared of surprise spiders. That's what I'm scared of.
Yeah, but I don't even think you're shocked by them, aren't you? You're just like, oh, there's a spider, aren't you?
I think it feels more than shock. It definitely feels fear. If I look down and there's a spider on the table, I would reasonably happily pick it up and have it crawl on my hand.
Yeah.
Depending on the size. And we live in England, remember? So you Aussies, like, yeah, obviously, totally different story then. But like,
yeah.
But if I look down and there's just randomly a spider, like, on me, I'll probably freak out briefly. And I think that is fear more than shock. I'm not like, oh, spider. It's like, ah, get it off. Like, that's fear, right?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. I guess it's the same as sort of like a jump scare in a horror movie. Like, yeah, that scared you, didn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think that's almost impossible because it is just the surprise of it. But your brain hasn't really registered what it is before you're reacting to it, has it?
I don't know.
And then you're just like, ah! And then, like, someone could put a spider on your shoulder and you'd be fine. So it's not that you are scared of the spider on your shoulder. You're surprised to see it there and it's making you scared.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I guess you're right. There's still a sense of fear in there, though. But yeah, more of a sort of shock fear. I guess shock is... a lot of words here are all kind of blending into each other.
Because shock is just very sudden...
Quick fear.
Quick fear that's over, like, straight away.
Yeah, 1 second fear, they should call it.
Yeah.
Phobias are a word maker. A linguist? Do they make the words?
Probably.
Or do they speak the words?
Study words?
Who writes words? Who makes words?
A dictionary smith.
A dictionary smith, yeah. If you're one of them, you are having a field day because the amount of phobias that I'm pretty sure they're making up for everything, right? That you just pick at anything. Box of tissues. Oh, that's called Kleenexophobia or whatever. Like, they're just rattling them off. Like, there's a phobia of phobias, which is the phobophobia, which is ridiculous, surely.
Yeah, I can't even wrap my head around. What are you scared of?
Phobias.
Yeah, but like, how does that manifest itself?
Oh, talking about phobias, thinking about phobias, having a phobia. Oh, terrifying.
I can't wrap my head around. What are you scared of?
Phobias.
Yeah, but like, what? But what about, like, what?
Phobias, man.
I need to know someone who has a phobophobia. What are you thinking at the time?
How would you cure someone with phobophobia with exposure therapy?
Yeah, just have a load of people around them all have phobias, telling them about their phobias.
Have them listen to this podcast for a start.
Yeah, this podcast would literally be their hell.
Or their salvation.
Or their... Yeah. We're actually charging this as a course. We mentioned it briefly with jump scares, but horror films, they're basically ruined, aren't they?
Yeah, their primary thing is to make you feel scared. And now you can't. It's just a really boring film, I guess.
Yeah. Would this upset you? Are you a horror guy?
I never used to be. Again, as being a very terrified little child, the thought of watching a horror film was a big no-no. But I've sort of come around to the idea. Since being a lover of films, especially in like the process of the filmmaking and seeing the behind the scenes and everything, I have come to enjoy it. My dad... Growing up, I don't know why this didn't help me at the time, but my dad was also very into the monster movie makeup scene and things like that, so he liked doing all that kind of thing. And now I find that fascinating too, and that really takes the scariness out of something when you see that it's just made of like foam and there's just a
yeah.
bald guy inside the costume, you know, called Larry or whatever. It's not scary.
So you think you'd maybe still be able to find an appreciation for the horror films because the fear isn't even... necessarily what you're interested in.
Yeah, I think so. I might still enjoy the craftsmanship of it, I guess.
Okay, so there's something still to be said about it, because I'm not hugely against horrors, but they're definitely not one of my more favoured ones. There's been some ones recently that I think have worked.
Yeah.
But generally, I would say I'm not a huge horror guy.
Yeah.
So this wouldn't bother me, like, a huge amount. But, again, it's going to sound like I'm trying to say I'm hard or anything, but I'm not. I just don't think I'm that easily scared, but I don't think it's because I'm tough. I think it might be because I'm slow.
You can say that again.
I just think my reactions are a bit slow. I really remember, right? I once went to like a haunted house thing in, I think it's Universal thing in LA. And it was objectively really good. I could objectively see they were doing it really, really well. Yeah. It was really scary. Like, well done, guys. And there was one point in which a guy so perfectly timed and jumped right in front of my face without like getting absolutely physically as close as he could without actually touching me. And in my head, I went, oh, that's scary. But my body didn't do a thing. Almost like my body was just too slow. Like, by the time my brain had processed what had happened, my body was already over it, you know?
Yeah.
I think I'm just a bit slow for horror. But it just takes me a while.
Did you leave the house and that later that night you were suddenly like, oh, you almost touched me, but he didn't. Oh, phew.
Yeah, it's weird. I just feel like that stuff doesn't get me. Like my brain's still processing it whilst I'm like, oh, yeah, that was good.
The credits start rolling in the movie theater and you're just screaming your head off.
Yeah. Yeah, so they don't really work for me.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I'm not sure with a horror movie a jump scare feels very cheap most of the time.
Yeah.
Right? You can almost make anything a jump scare if you want. Bah! See? Even then. I almost scared myself a little bit then because I wasn't planning on doing that. I also think I completely blew my microphone out. So that's more scary, if anything. This is quite an expensive microphone. I mean, what am I doing? Why am I screaming into it? Yeah, they feel very, very cheap a lot of the time.
Yeah, it's just like a biological reaction, really, isn't it? It's just like, you know, tapping into that thing that our body reacts physically to loud sound.
Exactly.
So I feel like there's not much craftsmanship to it. Whereas, like, creepy is much harder to do.
That's the thing. Eerie and creepy, something that really resonates and lingers with you long after you've watched the movie.
Yeah.
They're the real good horror films.
It's why I think, like, the ones that deal with more, like, existential stuff are actually scary, because that's the stuff that makes you stay up at night as an adult.
Yeah. Are we talking about Inside Out again?
Yeah. Yeah, terrifying. Having emotions.
Yeah, for you, Jack, that is a big fear.
God, imagine the idea.
It's just a cartoon, Jack. It's not real.
Oh, God, for a second, I thought they were real.
Famously, Roosevelt said the phrase, "Nothing to fear, but fear itself." What on earth was he on about? What does that mean?
Well, I mean, you can't be scared if you're not scared.
Bravo. What a deep thinker. Good. I think he's trying to say, like, fear, it's all in your mind, right?
Oh, okay. I was going to say, the worst thing that you can do is be scared. That's what you should be scared of. You should be scared of being scared, because being scared stops you from doing stuff. That's the worst thing you can do.
This sounds like phobophobia all over again.
It's the opposite of that, isn't it?
Is it? Scared of being scared?
He's, like, saying don't scared of being scared.
He's saying don't have phobophobia.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, he just knew somebody had phobophobia. Just like... Nah, don't be doing it.
Don't. You know, I think he means that, because very much like pain as well, it's all in the mind. It's a trick of the mind, right? It's not a physical thing that happens in your fingers and your toes and your whatever. It's all in your mind, and that sends it out to the rest of your body to react in sweating, poop, whatever it may be.
No, I don't. What? No, because that's all emotion. All emotion. There's nothing to joy but joy itself. It doesn't mean anything. What are you... There's nothing to anger but anger itself.
That's true. I mean, yeah, wow. Jack, you're deep. You're really deep.
There's nothing to sad but sad itself. What are you talking about? It's nonsense.
I think you need a dictionary, Smith, I think, to pick some of these grammatical things up. But yeah, I don't know. It just...
It's soundbite, isn't it? It sounds deep without being deep.
It does. I still am trying to figure it out.
No, I do think it means being scared limits you from doing things. As we're kind of saying, it's like, oh no, this is the opposite. I was going to say, there is benefit to fear. Like, fear is good in ways. Like, it starts us from doing reckless things.
But Roosevelt disagrees.
Yeah, but also I was saying about confidence, though. Like, fear is what stops us from doing things because we don't have the confidence that's going to happen. And so if you get rid of that fear... But I disagree. There is more to fear, but fear itself.
There's caveats to that, yeah. There's a little asterisk at the end of that, Roosevelt, that I think you need to add.
Yeah. There's nothing to fear, but fear itself.
Read the small print.
And some other things.
Can we take a second here and talk about Scooby-Doo real quick, please? Because Shaggy and Scooby, they are probably some of the most scared people I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
Why is their job as a mystery ghost-solving... crime people? What? Why are they doing that?
Yeah, I think it's they are jobless and they get given a lot of sandwiches from what I can work out.
Yeah, big, long, very impressive sandwiches.
Big, long sandwiches.
Like record-breaking sandwiches we're talking here.
Yeah, so I think they're just there for the food and they sort of put up with the fear as like a... because they don't really have any other options.
Yeah, I think you might be right. They're just angling for a free meal. Is it their van? Maybe that's the thing. They're just the driver and his dog.
So they're just borrowing their van and they're like, we'll pay you in sandwiches if you come along.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay.
Pretty much. I think that might be what's going on. Why would they still be scared after all these years? Every single time it's just a guy in a mask. It's not a real ghost. It's not a real dragon monster, whatever it is.
Irrational fears, clearly.
Yeah.
They're not being rational about it. Look, Velma could tell them. Look, it's going to be a person in a mask.
I mean, she seems smart, right? Like, she should know what's going on. She's always holding a book.
They're not
going
to listen to her. They're just going to be, it doesn't matter. It still scares me. One of these times, it's going to be a ghost.
Oh, imagine if it was.
One of the times, it should have just been a ghost.
It should have just been a ghost. Or, like, the final episode of Scooby-Doo should just be, like, a brutal murder. And they all get killed by ghosts.
Yeah. I could see why we didn't write it.
Scooby don't.
God, Jesus Christ. We can't put that
in. Halloween, right? Tis the season currently, as we're filming this episode at least. It's Halloween. Ooh.
Ooh.
Yeah, I feel like you have to go ooh, right? That's like the standard.
Yeah, it's an unwritten rule.
Weird word, isn't it, as well, Halloween, with an apostrophe in it. Just randomly, just kind of plopped there.
It's like Hallows Eve.
Yeah, it's All Hallows Eve. And in Scottish, they don't say Eve, they say Een.
Comes from Scotland, does it?
That's at least the name Halloween apparently does, at least, yeah.
Ah. I've just always assumed that Halloween is an American thing because they love it so much.
I mean, they've really taken it and run with it, sure. But yeah, at least the Een part of it is Scottish, as far as I could tell.
Interesting. Do you like Halloween?
Sure. Yeah, I don't dislike it. It's fine. I liked it more as a kid. Meant chocolates and sweets and everything like that.
Surely you hated it as a kid. It would be your worst time ever if you were scared of everything. I feel like Halloween would be your nightmare.
Well, it's fear of the unknown again. So I knew when you're walking about, it's just all a bunch of kids and stuff.
Right.
That's why I was pretty brave at Halloween.
But what if you knocked on their door and they were like, oh yeah, just come inside and grab some sweets for a second. And then their house blew away.
I mean... Yeah, that's why I never stepped foot in the door whenever I was asked. I always firmly stood outside.
Yeah, all right. Fair enough.
Were you a trick-or-treater?
I think I only ever did it twice.
Yeah?
And I'm the only one out of the three of us, like me and my siblings, that ever did it. They never did it, I think. And then I wanted to do it one year, but then now they were too old. Did it for 2 years, and then I was kind of done with it.
Were you solo? Solo trick-or-treating, or did you have friends?
Yeah, just me and my mum.
Was she partaking in the trick-or-treating too, or was she just kind of stood there?
No, she was just sat at the end of the drive making sure I wasn't being kidnapped.
Right, oh good, well done. Good job, mum.
So I really distinctly remember them because they only happened twice, but yeah, it wasn't like I didn't love it or anything.
Yeah, I did it a bunch, got some chocolate, sweets and whatever, but I wouldn't do it again, I don't think.
And I'm more annoyed now at like having to deal with trick-or-treaters than I ever got enjoyment out of trick-or-treating. So on balance, I'm more against it than I am for it.
Oh yeah, that's the real fear. Now when I hear the doorbell or the knock on Halloween, I'm like, oh.
Lights off, I'm out.
Yeah, the fear fills my body and that's it. Terrifying.
Yeah. But the thing is, Halloween's not scary, right? So I think Halloween can still happen. Name one way in which Halloween's scary. Dressing up and eating sweets, what's scary about that?
Yeah, I mean, if anything, it's like a celebration, isn't it, of the dead?
Yeah, it's quite a happy event.
Or of witching hour? What's Halloween for? I've forgotten. I don't think I ever knew.
I have no. It's a dressing up and eating sweets, let's be honest.
Yeah, I guess so. It's a pretty good fun time.
I do like sweets. I always like it as an excuse to eat some sweets and not feel guilty about it, I guess.
As in, like, you're buying trick-or-treat bags of sweets and eating them.
Yeah, I don't do any dressing up or watch any horror films or anything. I just go like, oh yeah, it's Halloween, eat some sweets. I'd propose you treat it like another Easter, but instead of chocolate, it's just sweets.
It's just like a cold, dark Easter.
Which makes it even worse, yeah.
Do you know the origin of the jack-o'-lantern?
What, as in, like, why they put faces in them?
Just, yeah.
Or why they light them up?
Both.
I feel like it's actually just quite a useful thing to use as a little lantern if you don't have, pumpkins are natural. They're like life's lantern. You don't have to make one.
Nature's lantern.
Yeah, so I mean, I think it's just quite an ingenious use of making a lantern.
Hang on, have you ever made your own jack-o'-lantern before?
I have, yeah.
They're not easy. They're a real faff to dig all of that stuff out, to dry it, whatever.
No, the face is the faff. The rest is fine.
But if you don't have the face, they're not a very good lantern. Now you've just got a pumpkin.
Yeah, but you don't need the face. You could just put a hole in each side.
Right.
Which is a lot easier to do than having to do a whole face.
Yeah, fair enough. So is that what your pumpkin looked like then? It was just four holes.
No, I wasn't making a practical lantern because we have electricity these days. And I could just use a light. I imagine these were invented back in the time before that.
Well, I have a little bit of the history of the jack-o'-lantern. So the story goes, whether this was a real story or it's just one of them made-up pretend ones that go down in legend, but there was an Irish, we're back to Ireland again, Stingy Jack was his name, which is interesting.
Sounds familiar.
And apparently he tricked the devil, so when he eventually died... He didn't go to heaven or hell. He was just left kind of wandering around. And then to kind of scare Stingy Jack away, because people didn't want him going to their front doors and that, they put these little lanterns outside. And originally, they were made of turnips, not pumpkins.
People believed in some nuts stuff back then, didn't they?
Just crazy.
People believed that enough that they were actually just, oh yeah, got to put out the lantern then. Don't want old stingy Jack coming around. And what was he meant to be doing?
Just being a bit spooky, I think. I don't know. Being stingy, just not paying you.
Yeah, crazy. Oh, okay. Is that why we still do it? Are people keeping me away?
No, if anything, it's to draw people in. I think if you put a pumpkin outside now, it's because you want trick-or-treaters, right? That's the rule.
You want a load of stingy people. It's the opposite.
Oh.
It's loads of stingy people stealing all your sweets. It's had a complete 360, that old Stingy Jack thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It totally has. Also, if you Google it, these turnips, they're way scarier looking than the pumpkins are nowadays.
Oh, you reckon we should go back to turnips?
We should totally go back to turnips. They're terrifying looking.
Okay, we'll do that. We'll do our own little jack-o'-lanterns, do them out of turnips. Turnips are quite small, though, aren't they?
They are a little bit smaller, so you might need a couple of them.
What makes them so scary? You're going to have to help me out.
I don't know, man. Just
describe them.
I guess the colour of the turnip being all kind of weirdly like beige and a little bit more...
They look a bit more dead, yeah.
Yeah, they look more like a skull, like a shriveled, gross skull yeah. thing than like a bright orange, happy pumpkin. Like, and they're very like long as well, like long and thin, so they're not... A pumpkin's quite a happy, round, jolly face.
Well, it depends what you're drawing, isn't it?
Well, true, but you know, like it's a pumpkin. It looks quite like puffy. A pumpkin.
You think innately pumpkins are quite joyous, do you?
Yeah, the shape evokes joy, whereas a turnip,
a jolly little shape,
is like pointy and long, and it's like, ugh, I'm gonna be evil to you. But
yeah. So
maybe they
had it right back then, and we've messed it up.
Possibly, but then I don't think Starbucks having a turnip spiced latte is gonna really hit the same spot as a pumpkin one would.
Right, you just think people like the taste of pumpkin more.
I think so, yeah. It was basically when Irish immigrants went to America, they were like, oh, we forgot the turnips, right? They were like, no,
yeah.
What are we going to do? There's a pumpkin, let's use that. That was pretty much how it happened.
Huh. I wonder if did they go straight to the pumpkin, or do you reckon they tried a few out? Tried a carrot, that too skinny doesn't work.
Banana.
Tried a Swede.
Yeah. I mean, I think that should be the way forward. Just all the veg.
Yeah, make a little family of jack-o'-lanterns out of everything.
Exactly. It's like, you know, lots of vegetarianism and veganism and stuff. Next, just get your veg out.
Get your veg out, love.
That should be the slogan. Halloween, get your veg out.
Yeah, good.
Obviously, lots of, like, scary monsters at Halloween, right? They're all meant to be coming out and existing. I don't know what they do the rest of the year. Are they, like, just in hiding?
Yeah, have they just got a collective...
Like, hibernation? Is it like what bears do, but just for the whole of the year?
Yeah, all of the vampires and werewolves, they only come out in October and then they're just sort of done.
I'm not sure. But if monsters can't be scary anymore, we need to try and think of some new, like, things for them to do, right? So...
Sure.
I've thought of a couple. Maybe you've got some ideas off the top of your head as well. So,
okay.
What job could Dracula do?
Blood donation, obviously.
He wouldn't want to get rid of the blood, though, would he? He's going to want the blood, if anything.
Yeah, maybe there's sort of like a, we give him some, we keep some. We give him some, we keep some. That's his payment.
Right. He goes off on his own and he comes back with some blood.
We don't ask what. We don't ask.
No questions asked.
No questions asked. He just helps us with the blood donations.
Gotcha.
Right?
I like it.
We don't ask how or when he got it. No questions asked.
I was thinking maybe they should train up and be dentists, because they got to keep their teeth nice and in check, right? You can't have a wobbly tooth as a Dracula.
That's a very vulnerable place to be putting people in a dentist chair with a vampire, isn't it?
Yeah, that's true.
You're asking for trouble.
I mean, also, sometimes things bleed in the mouth. That's when they get you to, like, you know, swish the little mouthwash and spit it in the sink. Maybe you just do it straight into Dracula's mouth, you know?
No. I don't think that is acceptable in the workplace. Have a bit with spit in your mouth.
Okay, but biting into somebody's neck and drinking their blood, that's fine.
Yes.
Okay. What about Frankenstein? Any ideas for what Frankenstein could get up to now?
Nothing funny's coming to mind.
I was thinking an electrician, because...
He's made of electricity?
If he gets zapped, I mean, good.
Right, it just gives him more energy.
He just gets a bit amped up.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's probably sticking his finger in some plug sockets every so often, you know, at 4 o'clock in the afternoon when he's still got one job left. A little pick-me-up.
I think just general tradesman. He's got a couple of spare bolts to be using around as well in his neck.
Yeah, if he unscrews those bolts, does his head fall off? Is that...
Yeah, I can only assume that's what they're doing. They're load-bearing, I think.
They're a load-bearing, yeah. I agree. What about a mummy, an Egyptian mummy, walking around in the bandages and stuff?
Got to be some kind of janitor or something.
Yeah.
Mopping up spills.
They just roll about on the floor, basically.
Yeah.
Clean it up. Give them new bandages at the end of the day. You're good.
Yeah. Free supply of bandages. You mop everything up. Jobs are good.
They just go in the room, pour a bucket of water on the floor, and then just flop about.
Yeah.
Clean as a whistle. A ghost. I struggled with this one.
Yeah. Spies.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Private detectives follow people and stuff.
Yeah, I like that. That's real good, because I was thinking an assistant at a maze, but yours is better.
Niche, it's niche. I don't know how much demand there is for it.
Yeah, I don't know how much need there is for, like, someone who works at a maze, let alone an assistant to them, but yeah.
Yeah.
Couple more. The creature from the Black Lagoon, like a swamp monster.
Yeah, you're going to have to tell me what that is. I actually don't know. So it's a
swampy monster. Ugh, I'm a monster.
What's he made of?
I think like seaweed.
Is he like humanoid? Oh, he's made of seaweed.
Imagine like a sort of, yeah, humanoid shape. Like, imagine, a bit like a yeti. Not a yeti. A Sasquatch. A Bigfoot. But instead of being brown fur, it's like...
It's seaweed and he's wet.
Sludgy seaweed. Yeah, and he's all wet.
Going to be honest with you. I don't think I have many job opportunities for that guy. If he comes into the job centre, I'm going on lunch.
Are you going on lunch? Oh, I'm not having this one. I'm at it.
Well, John, you can take this one.
I was thinking maybe Avatar 2 just came out. He could work on Avatar 3. Cameraman, underwater, probably can breathe under there or something.
Yeah, okay, good. Underwater photography and yeah. Okay, fair play. I feel bad judging him now. He has potential.
He's got some uses. And finally, a werewolf. What are you going to do about them?
I got nothing for that one.
I thought they could test out dog toys and things.
Yeah, to extreme, like stress testing.
Because you give it to them when they're the wolf, and then when they humanoid back up again, you give them a questionnaire. And you say, so how was the red bone, sir?
That's good.
And they can tell you everything about it.
They could test a lot of dog food as well. I'm sure they...
Yeah.
I don't know if wolves naturally eat it, but they'd at least be able to give a good idea.
I'm sure they would. I'm sure they'd have a nibble.
They'd have a go at it, yeah.
Or I thought, slightly different here, but like they could test tracksuits and the stretchy clothes and things like that. Put them on, turn into a werewolf, see how whether they've ripped or not.
Testing that spandex.
Spandex tester.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, good suggestion. So, okay, well, that's good. They're all set.
Yeah, monsters are fine. I was a bit worried about the monsters when we said A World Without Fear, so I thought, make sure they're all sorted.
If anything, positive change to their life. You know, making a good day's work instead of going around scaring people.
Exactly.
Positive change.
Yeah.
Quite inspirational, if you think about it.
Yeah. Thank you.
I meant them, not you.
Thanks. Why do ghosts say boo?
I think it's the same thing we're talking about, just like loud noise, isn't it?
It's just the loud noise.
You know, it's step one of how to scare someone. We all do it, right? You know, loud noise, scare someone.
But is it because it's the plosive of buh?
Yeah.
Also really
buh. I mean, technically you could say poo then, couldn't you, really?
Poo! I mean, that's scary in lots of ways. If you go around shouting poo,
yeah,
you know, if you go up behind someone and shout poo, like that.
Yeah, that is going to scare me more.
They're going to be like, what, where? You know, where's the poo?
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to think someone's throwing poo at me.
Is there poo?
That's way scarier than someone just saying boo.
I think ghosts should say poo.
Oh, my God, where? Like, yeah, that is way more scary.
Poo.
Yeah, doing it like that, not as much, I don't think. Although, still more than ooh.
Yeah, I mean, it just evokes these images in your mind of that, a little bit of extra.
Just like, where is the poo? Like, what are we talking about? Is it me? Is it you? Is it coming at me? Is it around here? What are we...
Where's the poo? Yeah. Apparently, I don't think we know. I don't think as humans we've actually figured out why... Boo is the phrase of choice, but people think it might come from Latin, meaning shout out loud. So literally ghosts are going round saying, shout, shout, like that, which that's also scary. Honestly, if you hear someone going around shouting the word shout in a dark alley,
No, that just sounds like someone's broken.
I mean, yeah, exactly. But...
It sounds like you've coded a character wrong in, like, a video game.
But that's what I mean. That's why it's so scary. Like, get me away from this broken robot person.
Yeah, it makes you just think you're in a simulation or something. Well, I'm glad it's boo then, because, yeah, shout is... Boo's better than shout.
I think so, yeah. Again, the unlatinization, if that's even a thing.
But it's still weird that they wouldn't just go, ah... Instead of boo. Do you think it just got badly translated one time? They were just like, and then he booed. You know, hold on, what?
Oh, hang on. You can say boo. Like,
yeah, that makes most sense where that comes from. So is it the exact same thing? Boo and boo and boo.
I don't know. So what? Are ghosts just really disapproving of everything?
Yeah, boo.
They're just
boo,
floating around an old house looking at the curtains going, no, boo. Boo, boo these boo. Curtains. Boo.
Boo this house. Boo this house. It sucks.
I mean, to be fair, the houses do always suck. I mean, they're always falling apart and the windows are all cracked or broken. Cobwebs.
Yeah, they're just really unhappy with where they've ended up being stuck haunting.
Yeah.
And it's like, this place sucks, boo.
And they're just telling everyone how they feel about it. Now I feel sorry for ghosts.
Yeah. Oh, get them a nicer place.
Yeah, we should. And then they'd start going around saying, yay, 5 stars.
Yeah, this is why you don't get them haunting like a nice 5-star hotel. It's always like a creepy old mansion.
Yeah. Literally, that was TripAdvisor of the past. Like, if there were ghosts there, it probably meant, nah, it's not a good place.
Yeah.
They're giving them terrible reviews. Yelp. Oh, Yelp. That's also like a noise.
Yes, it is. Well done.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style. Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Well, that's all I got, at least, about fear. Do you feel less scared now than when before we started this podcast?
No, actually. I think on balance, this is actually a bad thing.
Yeah.
I think fear, at least for me personally, doesn't play a massive role in my life. Like I said, don't have any real phobias. And I think all of the times I am scared is somewhat useful, at least, like stopping me from doing stupid stuff. At least outweighs the time where it's like not allowing me to do something I want to do. So for me, I think it's bad to lose fear. I think a little bit in small doses, fear's good. What about you?
A little bit of fear is all good. I like the sound of that. Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's quite a human emotion. And I think to lose it, just we lose a little bit of humanity or something deep like that.
Deep.
It just, again, ironically, it just sounds scary to lose our sense of fear.
Yeah.
I know that can't happen in this new world without fear world, but it's happening to me right now. So, yeah, I'm just glad we managed to get through the podcast without being too scared, honestly.
Yes. Aren't we brave little boys?
We are. We are. And well done you listening at home, unless you were scared, in which case...
Boo!
Boo! Yeah.
But there we go. I think that'll do us for today. Hope you enjoyed listening.
Yep. If you have any thoughts on a world without fear, you can contact us on our socials. The links are in the description.
But thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you again next time. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.